بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I wanted to correction, because I heard some being next to the computer, I was able to hear the dhikr. We have to make sure that when we do the salawat in the word al-am that we do, that the last word is al-amr. So it's not salam, but salim. Salama yusallimu tasliman, and the amr is salim. So this is the way we have to enunciate it, inshallah ta'ala, in the salawat that we do. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Okay, so I would say listening, most are probably doing it correct, but I just heard there might be some saying salama. So it's fi'l amr, but actually it brings up an interesting point, because this is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're asking him to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we actually, when we learn the Arabic language, anytime we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we actually don't say it's a command. Out of etiquette in mentioning him subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we say it's a plea. But grammatically, it's actually fi'l amr, imperative, the imperative. So, but it's a plea. But still, the proper enunciation is salim. So that's alhamdulillah, inshallah. Now, what I wanted to talk about today, being at the Health Freedom Expo, talking mainly for the most part, actually I think for the all the part, except maybe one Muslima yesterday that I spoke to. It was all an audience of non-Muslims, which is khair. Alhamdulillah, as you know, I'm using this platform to bring knowledge of the health, natural health, to whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends our way, to also give them some information about Islam. And those who heard it know that I mentioned that at the outset of my talk, that just as all of you, because they're a very well-educated audience on the benefits of the natural routes to health and well-being, very sophisticated audience, so I'm glad, alhamdulillah, I had a very detailed presentation, because I suspected, even though I've never been to such a forum, that I would get this kind of clout, and indeed that's how they were, very, very knowledgeable. So I got into, just dove into the specifics of what they needed to hear, alhamdulillah. But, so having spent time with them today, and knowing that, so I was saying my platform is hopefully whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides from that those circles, they are the most, you would think, apt to make that full leap of faith. They leapt to this understanding of their not being truth being told in the world about how health is really conquered by natural medicine and cures for everything. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we have them. So this is knowledge that I'm bringing from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them, to whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends our way. But hopefully, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring from amongst them to make the full leap into Islam, inshallah, because these would be the cream of the crop, because they understand that they have found the truth here, and they need to understand who led them to that even dunyawi truth that they found, and to make the full leap, inshallah, from amongst their ranks. So having said that, what I want to talk about is so joining all of these aspects of our gatherings, you know, whether we are speakers giving da'wah, or we're just, all of us have, we're representatives of the deen for sure, I think we all know that. So we all have a circle of influence wherever, whether in school, workplace, and so on. So in order to have that, we have to have an understanding of, first of all, obviously, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah grant us tawfiq in implementing the sunnah, because that is the best da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. And then furthermore, there are people who are very curious. I told Sidi Qaid, I should have gone with my first instinct. of keeping the book's title, Muslims, Mental Illness, and Medicine, because I'll tell you, the majority wanted to know about Islam. So are you Muslim? So that's why initially I wanted to kind of intertwine these subjects. First of all, because they do intertwine themselves as it is in these how the metals are affecting our health, but even in the Muslim Ummah. And you know, I kind of intertwine them in the story, which those of you who have read my book already know that. So, you know, so alhamdulillah, it's nice to know that is an interest in them. And very honestly so, some of the ones who asked me that were the most professional of all. One of them was a doctor who was retired, Dr. Kaplan, who was very, you know, respectful, inquisitive, appreciative. And so that's what I, alhamdulillah, I like to see audience like that. And so we know that kind of work, inshallah, should bring forth fruit. These are already educated audience. They know there were some falsehood that they encountered in terms of the dunya not telling them the truth. So, like I said, as we present Islam to them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them more and more into our fold, bi-ibnillah. So, along with that route, when we have these different circles that we mesh our lives with, because obviously living almost anywhere, not just in the Western world, but we have to deal with non-Muslims. So we need to understand certain aspects of socializing, or more so, more specifically, of this aspect of joining. In Arabic, it's called rabat. You know, even when you start off studying, actually a good analogy to look at is the Arabic language itself. The beginning, the middle, the end, there is no end actually to study of the Arabic language, but all throughout, what we get from looking at the Arabic language is everything builds on each other. It's a tree that never ends. And this is why they say, sort of, you know, morphology, there is somewhat of an end to it. There is an end to it, that science, in understanding the amalgamation of the words and how they change, conjugating the verbs and so on. You can complete that and be a master sarfi. But there is no end to the subject of nahu, a grammar. And that's because the Arabic language is, first of all, divine language. So we understand that no one, this is why the ulama say no one can master it. And every time we pick up the Quran al-Kareem, that is proof of it. There is just wonder upon wonder that we can never totally envelop. But so we have this tree, it just continues to grow. You start on the foundations of Arabic, what you see is that it just grows one, building one foundation upon the other. For instance, and even how there are diacritical marks, I mean, that just lends itself to understanding. First of all, look at how the Quran al-Kareem, first of all, did not have any harakat, as we know. The first written Quran, as it was presented before Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, actually the one that he compiled didn't have the diacritical marks, and it was later added on because as Islam spread outside of the Arab world, there could have been mistakes made, and the Sahaba were attuned to this problem, and so they wanted to prevent that and added the diacritical marks to prevent the tongue from error, particularly when reciting, understanding, and knowing the Arabic language of the Qur'an al-Kareem itself. But the orthography lends itself to this analogy of movement, because the harakat, it even means, you know, movement. So, you know, the fatha, the dhamma, and the kasra, all of this entails movement, joining. So rabat, I was saying about joining. When you look and pick up a grammar book on Arabic, they divide it, as we all know, who've studied even the little bit, anybody has studied it, you must know that it's divided into three main categories. The study of the ism, the harf, which is a minor role, and then you have what's called the musnad ilay, which is the subject, and the musnad, which is usually the verb. So these are the af'al goes under the musnad, and the nouns, the ism, it goes under the musnad ilay, that which is spoken about. So the ism, the fi'l, and the harf. Those are the three main categories of the roots of the Arabic language through which every other branch shoots off from. So it seems quite simple when you start off, but those branches are endless, as I said. But again, it gives us this idea of joining. Everything is built upon another. And so I want us to take this analogy to these interrelationships that we have, whether it's with Muslims, with non-Muslims, with children, all age levels. We have to have an understanding of what we're doing, how we're doing this joining, because that's part of the sunnah, to have this love and care for everyone, regardless of who they are. Because if it's a non-Muslim, if they became a Muslim, we have to have this understanding they could be better than us in that moment. So this is why we have that when we meet people, always assume they're better than us, and this will give us the right, proper treatment we should give to everyone Allah sends on our path, inshallah ta'ala. So, and then, and by the way, just to mention about the harf, so, because the Nahuis, they don't like us to derogate the harf. As I said, it has a minor role. Its definition is only given in a line, whereas it takes many lines to give the definition of the ism and the fi'l. But a harf is usually just something which is not musnad or musnad ilayh. It doesn't talk about the subject, nor does it bring you the musnad. So what they usually say, it joins the two. It joins the musnad, musnad ilayh. And there's some other examples. So they don't negate it as well. And if you look about it, the harf actually, this aspect of joining, rabat, is its crucial aspect. So when you look at it another way, without this minor player, which is called the harf, things like conjunctions, prepositions, this is what the harf is. And in the Arabic, in the English language, that would be conjunctions, you know, prepositions, as I said, so and, or all these words, that's all the same thing in the Arabic language, that's what a harf is. But the way the grammarians describe it, they give it its true value. This thing about joining is very crucial. So when you look at it that way, what you notice is that we can't make sense of language without this seemingly minor player called the harf, which is usually just one or two letters. So in joining, because we can't make sense. For instance, if I say I'm going from New York to Chicago, and I take away the word from, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Which way am I going? Where is my starting point? Where is my ending point? And this is how the grammarians actually explain and give it its actual elevated status in saying, yeah, we may think that the harf is a minor player, but just imagine if you took it out of sentences. Are you going to make sense of that sentence? No, for the most part, we're not. It gives it a very important role. So the same with every person we meet. Some people come from various, you know, big initials after their name, so they have a high maqam already. They've done things in the dunya, which is good. We should respect them for that. Other people, Allah knows better what their real station is. This is why we're told to give everyone we meet the high status, because we have no idea, ultimately. Allah knows better. So I also wanted to mention, you know, because some people may be celebrating, commemorating Isra wal Mi'raj tonight. Some did, I know, last night. But to keep thing that might help us for the night and give us himmah, inshallah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during those invaluable times. Maybe we'll get it automatically with the twins sleeping here, alhamdulillah. We might have not have any choice but to stay up. So, but alhamdulillah, they'll be benefiting us. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَلُ مَنْ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَّذِينَ يَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ. So the foremost, or the first, that will be called to Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prosperity and in adversity. So we want to be from amongst them, insha'Allah ta'ala. So especially on nights like this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the himmah to do the best of our capability in remembering him in these secret, auspicious nights that give us far more in return for what we do out of his rahmah and generosity. And we were talking the last few sessions about, you know, preparation for Ramadan and guarding the tongue. So it's nice to look at sometimes with the Sahaba and how seriously they took this. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya laytani kuntu akhrasa illa an dhikrillahi ta'ala. Oh my Lord, would that I could remain silent except in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these are words from the sapient one, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who knew how crucial it is, every word we utter, and how it can be weighed against us. And finally, I think I'll end with a nice anecdote about Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, to also give us this semblance of keeping our balance regardless of what else is going on in the course of life. There are many things happening as part of what I discussed earlier at the Health Freedom Expo, that there are a lot of chaoses and things that are out of control, no doubt about it. And part of the solutions are in us helping those truth upholders, because there are people that are at the forefront of this, and so we need to have more people like that. And ultimately, you don't have despair. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind all of these, all of their plots is His plan, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in keeping semblance, here's a nice anecdote. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he was in the middle of a session, which was this one time, and these kind of anecdotes really, I think, summarize for us what we try to attain by reading, you know, narrating and reminding ourselves of hadith, that sometimes when you see one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implement it, then it gives us more himmah, insha'Allah ta'ala. May it do so for us. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, in the middle of a majlis session he was teaching, there was a someone who came to him in the middle of the session and whispered something in his ear. And Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, Alhamdulillah. And then he continued his session. Later, almost towards the end of his session, the same person came again and gave him some more news, whispered it into his ear. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, Alhamdulillah. And, you know, and ended his session. And then the students, being students, they were curious. He said, they asked their teacher, what can we ask, what was the news that you got the first time and the second time? And so Abu Hanifa, by the way, we need to understand that he was a very big businessman. He had tawfiq, mashallah, in his business. So this is how he supported a lot of his students as well. So they said, he said, rahimahullah, the first news they told me was that there was a ship with a huge load of goods that I was expecting. And they told me the ship, it was wrecked, and he lost all of his goods. So, as we know, he said, Alhamdulillah, and went back to the session. Then they said, then what was the other message that you got? And he said, at the end of this, towards the end of the session, they found the news that, in fact, the ship hadn't wrecked, and all of your goods are saved. And he said, Alhamdulillah, and continued the session. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq in the likes of our salaf and our ulama, the warathat al-anbiya. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahdu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahdu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahdu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Al-Fatiha.
جزاكم الله خيرا.
I don't know if my dad wants to do a dua, inshallah.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذو الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واهدنا وارزقنا وعافنا. اللهم اكفنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وارزقنا بالسالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار ويا كريم ويا ستار ويا رحيم ويا غفار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا أكرم الأكرمين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذرياته وحتى أتباع أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا أكرم الأكرمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا.
Gracias.